Today's shiur is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Kuv Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Kuv Vav Amud Beis, the bottom line. Mishal Chomdinas Hayam. Our Gemara will discuss in Mitzvah Shem today the halacha if one's husband goes overseas without seeing that he left support for his wife. Does Beis Din have the right to go to the assets of the husband and assign assets to the woman for her support? Mishal Chomdina Siyam, Itmar. Rav Omar, Rav says, Poiskin Mizaynus Leishasish. We take support from the husband's assets for his wife. Shmuel Omar, Ein Poiskin Mizaynus Leishasish. We do not take support for the wife from the husband's assets. And the Rishonim help us understand this Gemara. They explain as follows. If a husband and wife come to Beis Din discussing back pay, support that the wife says the husband was supposed to give her and he didn't, the wife says that he gave, that he did not give, and the husband says that he gave, in such a den Torah, the halacha is that the husband would prevail. We assume that the husband fulfilled his obligation and gave the support he was supposed to. However, in a situation just the reverse, where they're talking about support towards the future, the wife claiming that the husband has to support her, and the husband saying that he already has given her the money for future support, in such a dentira, the halacha would be just the opposite. The wife would prevail, because typically the halacha assumes that people do not pay their obligations prior to their being due. And therefore, Rav's opinion could be very well understood. Since we're referring to support payment into the future, the woman saying her husband owes her that support did not leave her that support, and therefore, Paiskim Mizaynus Leishasish according to Rav. Shmuel, however, says, and this is the way the Rishonim explain Shmuel's opinion, that although typically in a dentira between a husband and a wife about future support payments, the wife prevails, in a situation where the husband went overseas, we assume that the husband left support for his wife, and therefore the halacha according to Shmuel is that the wife cannot claim support. However, the Rishonim go on to explain that our Gemara, in a moment, and there are other circumstances in which Shmuel will certainly agree that she is entitled to support. One example the Rishonim give is if the husband's intention was only to take a short trip, go to work a few minutes away. There, since the husband did not intend to be away for the extended period of time, there is no reason to believe that the husband left support for his wife, and therefore even Shmuel would agree she's entitled to support. Another example is where the relationship between the husband and wife is a poor relationship, and therefore to say that the husband was so concerned about his wife and that he left her support because he knew he would be away is unlikely. There too, the Rishonim say Shmuel would agree that Paiskim Mizaynus Leishasish. Our Gemara is referring to a normal situation where the husband took a trip, left knowing that he's going to take a trip, and the wife claims that he did not leave her support. Rav says we Paiskim Mizaynus Leishasish. Shmuel says Ein Paiskim Mizaynus Leishasish. Amr Shmuel, says Shmuel, Maidali Abba, Rav agrees. It's always a machloikus, what does Shmuel mean when he says Maidali Abba? It doesn't mean because Rav's name was Abba, and he called him by his first name, or is Abba a name of endearment? And Shmuel, out of great respect to Rav, called him Abba. Says Shmuel, the Rav agrees, B'shloisha chadashim ha-rishoinim, in the first 3 months that the husband is not here, she is not entitled, Bezdin does not take from the husband's assets to support the wife. No one leaves his home empty. And therefore, we could be certain, says Shmuel, that there were items left over in the home, and those were enough food in the refrigerator, in the freezer, in the pantry, for her to live on for the first 3 months. It's only after the first 3 months, says Shmuel, does the machlokes between me and Rav become relevant. Furthermore, says the Gemara, b'sheshama b'shemes, in a situation where we heard that the husband died, kulam le'pligi, there is no machlokes. For as we explained at the beginning of the shiur, Shmuel's basis for not assigning her mezonos is because Shmuel says that certainly before he left, he provided for his wife and prepared for her mezonos. And as Duran says, not only did he provide for her when he left, he continues to send her support as long as he's away. However, if he died, and there it was sudden, he wasn't prepared to die, and he didn't prepare himself to prepare mezonos for his wife, nor is there a way that he's continuing, as Duran says, to send the support, he's no longer alive. Therefore, says Shmuel, certainly I agree that poiskim mezonos, Bezdin would take from his assets to support his wife. Machlokes harishonim, how to understand b'shoshama b'shemes? Some Rishonim explain b'shoshama b'shemes that there were two Edim, this way it seems Tosfos learns, that there were two Edim that indicated that he died. The Ritva seems to learn that b'shoshama b'shemes doesn't mean that we have conclusive proof through two valid witnesses that he passed away. Rather, he explains that the Gemara is referring to a situation that there was a rumor, there was a call that this person passed away, which was substantiated by two Edim. And there, says the Gemara, B'shem b'shemes kulam lo'pligi, everybody agrees that she is assigned mezonos from his property. Ki pligi, when is the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel? B'shaloshem b'shemes, we do not have any information that he passed away. Rav Amar Paiskim, Rav says that she's entitled to mezonos, because he's obligated to pay her he's obligated to give her mezonos, and therefore Bezdin has a right to go down to those properties to support her. V'Shmuel Amar Ein Paiskim. So as the Mefarshim explain, Machlokes Rishonim, why in a case that we know for sure that he died, do we certainly give her mezonos? Rashi seems to say, because as we learned in the Mishnah, and our Gemara is going to repeat what we learned in the Mishnah in a moment, that since at a certain point she's going to have to swear, according to B'nai Kohanim Gedolim, she has to swear both B'tchila and B'soif. According to Chanan, she swears B'soif. But since at a certain point when she's going to come to collect the Ksuba, she's going to swear, and when she swears to receive her Ksuba, she also swears for mezonos, so that is a guarantee that when she comes and claims that she has no support, we believe her. The Ramban takes a different approach. The Ramban's approach is that since her husband died, once the husband dies, we know for sure the nechassim, all the properties, are now mortgaged to her. That's what the ksuba accomplishes. And since she has a very strong hold on these properties, even Shmuel will agree that she's entitled to mezonos. The question is, what is the halacha when we don't have any information that he passed away? Rav says that since the husband has an obligation to support the wife, so therefore, even in a case under all circumstances, Bezdin go to his property to extract payment for this support, and Shmuel says, we do not do that. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what is the reasoning of Shmuel? So Rav Zvid Amar, Eima Tzrora Atvasa, we are concerned that perhaps the husband before he left left bundles of money for his wife to be supported all through. We're concerned that this couple has a deal between themselves that you earn wages, and the wages you earn cover your needs, and I don't have to support you. So if the husband and wife have such a relationship, the husband doesn't have any responsibility to support her. So now she can't come claim that she is entitled to support. Tosfos and most Rishonim hold that a husband can only tell a wife, see Masi Yadecha B'Zenasecha, that you support, that you should keep your wages as your support, only if the wife consents to such a arrangement. But without the wife's consent, such arrangement would not be acceptable. The Rishonim to disagree and say that a husband could tell a wife, see Masi Yadecha B'Zenasecha, even against her will, if she earns enough money to live on. Mefarshim ask, if our Gemara, the Rishonim ask, if our Gemara is referring to a situation that this woman is a talented, skilled woman and has a job in which she earns enough for her livelihood to live, so what's the discussion in our Gemara that Bezdin should have a right to go to his property to support her? Bezdin should tell her that you earn enough to live on, and that's what you should live on, and not go to his property without his permission. So the Rishonim explain that our Gemara is referring to a situation that when the husband and wife were together, they had made an arrangement of Tzi Masi Yadecha B'Mzenesecha, but then after the husband left, her wages went down, her business is not what it once was, and therefore she cannot survive just on her wages. So if there's an arrangement between the husband and wife of Tzi Masi Yadecha B'Mzenesecha, that arrangement remains permanent, and even though her status changed, she still cannot claim mezonos. But if there was no such arrangement, so now she is claiming her mezonos. So as to Avni Miluim, we know that there are two concepts. There's a concept of a woman being able to tell her husband, Eini mezonos v'eino oisa, I refuse, I don't need you to support me, and I don't want to hand over my wages to you. The halacha, says the Avni Miluim, is that a woman has a right to change that arrangement. And today she could say, I want to have an arrangement in a relationship with my husband of any nezonos v'eino oisa. And then she could change it and say, I don't want to have that arrangement. Our Gemara, however, says the Avni Miluim, is teaching us that once a husband and a wife had a relationship of tzi masi decho b'vezonos secho, the wife can no longer back out of that arrangement. So ask the Avni Miluim, what is the difference between these two arrangements, between these two concepts? Says the Avni Miluim, Eini nezonos v'ein oisa reflects a takonas chazal, that a husband has to support a wife. And that, every day, there's that obligation. A wife, given, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, that takona was made on behalf of the benefit of the wife, has a right to say to her husband, today I don't want takanas chazal, tomorrow I do want takanas chazal. Tzi Masi Yadechem V'Zenasecha, however, says the Avni Miluim, reflects an obligation, not a special takanas chazal. It reflects a chayv, a debt that exists between a husband and a wife. And when a wife tells the husband, when a husband and a wife come to an agreement of Tzi Masi Yadechem V'Zenasecha, what she is essentially doing is she's forgiving a debt. Once the debt is forgiven, it remains permanently forgiven, and she can't change her mind and say, today I wanted it this way, and tomorrow I want it another way. Ask the Gemara, my B'Gnayu. So Gemara has given two explanations why Shmuel doesn't grant the woman Panosa support from the husband's property when he goes away. Tzvara Atvasa,
or perhaps they have a relationship of Tzvi, Masi, Dechavs, and Asecha. Ask them, Amai Benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two explanations? One is Gedoyla v'lo Sipka. The wife is a Gedoyla, but she's not a very skilled woman. She doesn't have enough earnings to live on. So the chash, the concern of Tzrori Atvasa, is there because she's a Gedoyla, and we have every reason to be concerned that the husband left for her bundles of cash to survive on in his absence. However, that there was an arrangement of that's not likely. That's because she doesn't earn enough to live on. Inami, another nafkamina, is ketana v'sapka, where the girl is a ketana, the wife is a ketana, but she has a very skilled woman, and she could have made enough to live on. So the concern for tsrora atvasa doesn't exist here, because it's unlikely that a husband would leave his wife, who's a ketana, bundles of cash. He doesn't trust her that she wouldn't spend it all in one time, that she would take care of this money properly. But that they have a relationship of tzi mas yodecha b'mezonesecha, that's a real concern, because the husband knows that his wife has very good earnings, very good wages, and they might have had an arrangement between themselves of tzi mas yodecha b'mezonesecha. Ask Tosfos, how could our Gemara suggest that the husband and the wife, who's a ketana, have a relationship of tzi mas yodecha b'mezonesecha? Didn't Tosfos just tell us before that such an arrangement can only be made with the consent of the wife? And the wife's consent, if she's a ketana, doesn't have das. So how could she ever enter such a relationship? So Tosfos gives a number of terutzim. One teretz is that here we're referring to mechila, like we explained a moment ago. She's just forgiving a debt, and that a ketana has the ability to do. Another teretz that Tosfos gives is based on a Gemara that we're going to learn in Masechta Nedarim. The Gemara in Masechta Nedarim says that a girl who's a pe'uta, she's already 11 years old, and we see that she's an intelligent girl, does have the ability to enter transactions. And we're going to be referring to a ketana who is that age and that intellect, and could have entered into a relationship of tzi mas yodecha b'mezonesecha. The Shita makes an interesting observation in Rashi. He says, our Gemara quoted the opinions of Razvid and Rapapa in understanding Shmuel's opinion. Razvid was same with Tzrori Atvasa. Rapapa says, maybe they have a relationship with Tzimah Sudechim Zenesecha. Says the Shita, even Rapapa agrees to Razvid's concern of Tzrori Atvasa. And therefore, by Gedoyla, the reason why she will never be entitled to Mezoinus, according to Shmuel, is because we're concerned that maybe the husband left over bundles of cash. However, on the other side of the situation, Resvid does not agree with Rapapa that husbands and wives typically get into a relationship of Si Masi Dechav Zenesecha, and therefore Rapapa agrees with Resvid's concern, but Resvid does not agree with Rapapa's concern. Ask the Gemara. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Misha Aluch L'medina Siyam, if somebody went to L'medina Siyam, Vishta Tavas Mezoinis, and his wife comes to Beis Din to request Mezoinis, Chanan Oimer, Chanan says, Tishav B'Soif, she only swears when we know the husband has died, and she's coming to collect the Ksuba. So when she comes to collect the Ksuba and swears to receive the Ksuba, she also swears for her mezainus, the loyti shabbat chila, but she does not have to swear at the beginning when she's requesting support. Nechel ko b'nei kohanim gedalim v'amru. The b'nei kohanim gedalim disagree with Chanon, and they hold to shabbat chila b'soif, both at the beginning when she comes to claim her mezainus, and at the end when she comes to claim a ksuba, does she have to swear? Says the Gemara, at kamay pligi elin yeshua. The machlokes in our Mishnah is only regarding Shvuah. When, how does a Shvuah have to be made? av mazayne, but it's very obvious that in a situation of regarding mazaynis, everybody agrees yavina lo that she's entitled, which would be difficult according to Shmuel, because according to Shmuel we learned ein paiskim mazaynis. Answers the Gemara, Tergma Shmuel b'shasham b'shemes. Shmuel will explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where a husband died, and as we learned at the beginning of the shir, in such a situation, even Shmuel agrees that paiskim mazaynis. Says Tosfos, now that we finish learning this Gemara, we understand that the machloikis of Chanon and the Bnei Kohanim HaGedolim in our Mishnah is not only in a case of Misha Holach L'Medina Siyam, but it's also in a case of Misha Meis. That in that case too, there's a machloikis between Chanon and Kohanim HaGedolim when and how she swears. So why did our Mishnah only mention, as Tosfos, the case of Misha Holach L'Medina Sayom? Answers Tosfos, because our Mishnah wanted to tell us a chiddush. Even though the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim are machmirim, and they hold Tishava B'Tchila U'B'Soif, their chumrah only goes up to a certain point. They hold, yes, this woman has to swear when she wants to get her mezainis. She has to swear when she wants to get a ksuba. But they will agree that once she swears, she's entitled to the mezainis. Entitled. And we do not say that Shemet Sroi Atvasa, that we should be concerned that before he went overseas, he left her bundles of cash. Tashma. So Gemara again tries to ask a question against Shmuel's opinion from a braisa. It says in a braisa, Misha Holach L'Medina Siyom, if a husband went to Medina Siyom, Vishta Tevas Mezoinis, and his wife is demanding support, B'nei Karim G'daylim, Oimrim Tishava, the B'nei Karim G'daylim says she has to swear, Chanam Eloi Tishava, she doesn't have to swear. Then Bov Omar, afterwards, he came, and he said, and this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, so we gave her the support, whether a shvur, through a shvur, without a shvur, given the opinion of Chanon and the Bnei Kohanim HaGedolim. So we gave it a support, and then he comes and he says, Pesachti L'Mezoinus, in my absence I kept her sending her support, Neman. And here we have Machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand Neman. According to Rashi, that the definition of Neman is that if he swears that he supported her during his absence, the money that we gave her from his assets, she will now have to return. Tosfos learns just the opposite. And Tosfos says that if the wife swears that she did not receive support payments from him in his absence, then she does not have to return the money that she received from Beis Din, from his property during this time. So above Amar Pesachtel Mazaynus Neman Hachinam. So here, but we certainly see that we give her support. The question is, does she have to return it? Does she not have to return it? Does she have to swear or not? But certainly, she's entitled to the support. It says the Gemara B'Shem B'Shemes. We're referring to a situation we heard that he died, where Shmuel agrees that she receives support. Ask the Gemara V'Bava Amar Kamer. The Mishnah says that he came and claimed that he supported her during his absence. So how can we explain this braisa to be referring to a situation that he died? It says the Gemara, Bar Lacha Shmuel. What happened was, there was a rumor, there was a shmur that he passed away, and based on that we gave her support, and now he shows up and says, not only am I obviously not dead, but moreover, I sent her support during the entire time of my absence. Tashma. So Gemara tries from another braisa to challenge Shmuel's opinion. Misha Holach L'Medina Sayam. Somebody went to Medina Sayam. Vishta Tavas Mezoinus, and his wife is requesting Mezoinus. Imbav Omar, if he came back and said, see, Mas Yodech of Mezoinus Secho, if he says, what you earned should be what you're supported from, Rishoi, he can make that requirement, and even if she borrowed money during this time, he does not have to repay the money that she borrowed for support. Kidma Bezdin Pasku. However, once Bezdin paskened for her that she is entitled to take money that is asked, that he is responsible to repay any loans she takes for her support, Masha Pasku, whatever they granted is granted, and he would have to repay any loans she took for support. And the Chazon Ish explains what is the difference before Bezdin paskens versus after Bezdin paskens. He says, typically, a woman, a wife, whose husband went overseas and left her without any support, is embarrassed to go to Bezdin to request support payment. And what does she do? She lives on a more limited budget. And therefore, the husband has every right to say, I have every right to expect of you to make ends meet on whatever earnings you make in order to avoid the embarrassment of going to Bezdin and Bezdin saying that you're entitled to borrow money and I will have to repay it. And therefore, if she did borrow money, he does not have to repay those loans. However, once a woman, says the Chazon Ish, came to such a serious state that she had no other option but to go to Bezdin because she had no other way of surviving. Her earnings weren't keeping up with her needs and she had to go to Bezdin. Then Bezdin gives a psak, and if she borrows money, Bezdin would have to, the husband would, or his heirs or his estate would have to repay those loans. But again, here we see clearly that Bezdin does, under certain circumstances, take from the husband property to support the wife whose husband went overseas. Says the Gemara again, Hachinami v'shashan v'shemes. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where the husband, there was a rumor, or we heard that the husband died, and since the husband died, even Shmuel agrees, Paiskin Mizonos. Toshma, Mishalach Medinas Hayom, somebody went overseas, Vishta Tavas Mizonos, and his wife is requesting support. Bezdin Yardin L'Nechosov, Bezdin go to his properties, Bezonin Umefarnes and Lishtoi, and they support his wife, Avloi Bonov Abenoisov, not his children, for as we know, the obligation to support children, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, the obligation for a husband to support children are only with children who are below the age of 6. Here the children, explained to Rishonim, are above that age, so he has no obligation to support them, and the court can't seize his properties for their support. V'loy davar acher, and they don't have to give something else. The Gemara will soon explain what's something else here. Here we clearly see that Bezdin does go to his properties to support the wife. Now, says the Ritva, here the Gemara cannot give the teretz that it's given so many times in our sugya, v'shasham v'shemes, that we heard that he died. Because if we're assuming, says the Ritva, that he died, then his children become his yarshim, and they're entitled to take his properties as yarshim. If the Braisa here is saying that the children are not entitled to take his properties, it must be because we don't know that he's dead. We have no reason to believe he's dead. And therefore, it's not talking about Shem Bo Shemes. And still, the Braisa says that the wife is entitled to support. So it's a Kashan Shmuel. Rav Sheshes, B'mashus Ishta Yedei Shlish. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where the husband provides his wife through a third party. In a case where a husband provides his wife through a third party, all of the concerns that Shmuel, Rapapara, Zvid articulated at the beginning of our shir don't apply. The concern of Tzrari Atvasa doesn't apply, because if he supports her through a third party, he obviously isn't leaving her with money. If he supports her through a third party, obviously they do not have between themselves a relationship of Tzi Masu Yadecha B'mezayin Asecha. And therefore Shmuel will agree that she's entitled to be supported from his properties. Ask the Gemara, Yochi B'nai of Nami, if we're referring to a situation the husband supports his family through administrator, so he obviously is showing that he wants that his children should be supported from his assets. So why in his absence do Beis Din not have the right to take support from them from his properties? Says the Gemara, Kihishu lezu v'lo hishu lezu. There was an administrator. He had an administrator taking care of his wife and not taking care of his children. Asked the Gemara, my Pascha. And the way that we try to explain the Gemara's question is that typically when a Braisa is contrasting two situations, two dinim, the circumstances of the two dinim are identical. Just the Braisa says, in one, given these circumstances, in one case, given these circumstances, the halacha is this way. In another situation, given these circumstances, the halacha is that way. So it would make most sense to explain, say to Rishonim, that the Braisa is referring to a case, either that he's supporting both his wife and his children through administrator, or he's not supporting his wife and children through administrator. How does it make sense to explain that the Braisa is referring that his wife is supported through an administrator and his children are not? Says the Gemara, Elamar Papa, Shamabash Mespeit Echot. There was one witness that came that said that the husband died. He, as we know from the Gemara at the end of Masechta Yevamos, Mishumi Guna Ikulaba Rabbanan, were very lenient in allowing a woman to get remarried, and therefore, since she debayin tsuva beit echad, she's allowed to get married based on the testimony of one witness. Therefore, matzi mitzvah, since she can get married based on this testimony, mezayin nami yavina la, based on this testimony, we also give her mezaynus. However, banav ben Yosef debay lemeichav l'chas beit echad, children cannot receive yerusha just based on the testimony of one witness that their father died. So just like they can't get lematz nachsi, just like they can't get Yerusha based on this testimony, similarly, mezoyin namin lo yavin aluhu based on this testimony. There's a very fundamental machloikis between the Rivosh and the Tashbats and the Noida Yehuda. We know, as we just learned, that mishmiguna ikulu barabonon, mitay chay mishichmat ala b'soifa, and we allow a woman, even if she comes herself and says that her husband died, typically we know that halacha is we need two valid witnesses. One witness, or she alone, is believed. But we have a machlokes between these paiskim. What would be the halacha? It's not that the woman herself is saying that the husband died. There's an aid. There's a witness, but there's only an aid echad saying that he died. What would be the halacha? The Rivosh says that an eid echad is fine for the wife to get married based on his testimony. But an eid echad cannot be relied on for the children to receive the Yerusha. And the Ramah paskins like the Rivosh. And the Gross says the basis for the Ramah and the Rivosh is our Gemara. Our Gemara clearly says there was only one eid. And the Gemara says that's enough for her to get remarried and therefore also receive support, but the children cannot get the Yerusha based on the testimony of an Eid Echad. The Noida Yehuda, the Tashbats hold that they do get Yerusha based on the testimony of an Eid Echad. But as the Mefarshim, the Noida Yehuda himself points it out, our Gemara says that Eid Echad is not enough for the children to get a Yerusha. How will they explain our Gemara? So they explain that the Eid Echad and our Gemara is not referring to a situation where the Eid Echad himself comes and says, I saw this man die. Under such circumstances, says the Tashbats and Noida Yehuda, the Yorshim would get the Yerusha. The Eid Echad is only saying something that he heard about. So since he's only Eid Echad, and also he's not saying that he personally witnessed or was personally aware of the death of the father, that's why the children do not get the Yerusha. So Braisa said that she's not entitled to Dover Acher. What's a Dover Acher? Rav Chisda Matachshet, that even though we're supporting her, she's not entitled to perfume. Rav Yosef Amma, she's not entitled to Stoka. We don't, even though we're giving her Mezoinus, we're giving her support, we do not give her funds that she should be able to give Stoka. Says the Gemara Mando Amma Tachshet, according to Mando Amma, that she doesn't receive Tachshet, Kol Shekein Stoka. Tachshet for a woman perfume for a woman is more important than tzedakah. So we don't give a tachshit, we certainly don't give it tzedakah. Mandam tzedakah, the mandam that says we don't give it tzedakah, avo tachshit yavinilo. Tachshit, perfume, we would give her, d'loinichlo de tenevel. We could assume that just like a husband wants his wife to be supported, he also wants his wife to receive the perfume because that's part of her personal hygiene. Toshma, Hayuvama, the Brisa says, Hayuvama Shlosh Chadoshma Rishonim, this first 3 months after her husband dies, Nizonis Mishal Balam, are supported from the estate of her husband. Since we know the halach is that after her husband died, even if he died without children, and she's a candidate for Yibum, she may not undergo Yibum for the first 3 months, because we have to be concerned that perhaps she's pregnant from a previous husband. So her not getting remarried is in honor and because of her relationship with a previous husband, and therefore she continues to be supported from her husband's estate. Mikan ve'elach, after the 3 months, en nezonis lemishal ba'alav lemishal yavam. She no longer is connected to her husband. She's prepared for Yibum, which severs her relationship with her first husband. And once that relationship is severed, there is no obligation for the estate of that husband to continue supporting her. But she also doesn't receive support from her yavam, because she hasn't actually had Yibum. They haven't become married. Says the Braisa, Omer Bedin Ubarach, if they had it in Torah, and there's a machlok Rishonim how to understand this in Torah. Some Rishonim explain, they had it in Torah and the Yavam agreed to do Yibum, and then Ubarach he ran away without performing what he was supposed to do, without doing the Yibum. The halacha is Nezonis Mishal Yavam, she's supported from the Yavam's estate. Others say, the Rambam holds, that even if they had it in Torah, and as an outcome of the entire, the Yavam said, I'm not doing Yibam, I'm doing Chalitza. But Ubarach, he ran away before he actually did the Chalitza. And this woman is left in limbo because she can't marry anyone else until that Chalitza takes place. The halacha is that she's supported from the estate of the Yavam. There's a machloikas Rishonim also. When the Braisa says here, Omer Adin Ubarach, is it only in a situation where the Yavam ran away that that's when she's not entitled to support, that she's entitled to support? But what would be the halacha if he became ill? And because he became ill, he could not perform Yibum. Is she entitled to support or not? Machlokes Rishonim. Here, the Braisa says that she receives support from the Yavam. So if she receives support from the Yavam, who's not even her husband, certainly she should receive support from her husband, who's not here. So how could Shmuel ask the Gemara say that she doesn't receive support from her husband? The Gemara goes back to explain all of the concerns Shmuel had, and explains why these concerns are not relevant here. Imishim Tzrori, our concern was that the husband leaves over bundles of cash for his wife. Here, since it's a Yavam and Yavama, they don't have that relationship that the Yavam should be concerned for her and leave over bundles of cash. If because the concern is that he told her, you keep your earnings and from that you live, that's the kind of arrangement that could be made between a husband and a wife. However, here, that relationship between the Yavam and the Yavam doesn't have that, they don't have that obligation. She doesn't have an obligation between themselves of support and wages, and therefore there's no concern that he told her, see mas yadecha b'zenesecha. Toshma, a woman that she and her husband went to Medinas Yam. Ubas v'amrin, she returns and she says, Meis Bali, my husband passed away. Rotsa nezoinis, she could receive support, she's an almona. Rotsa gaiva ksubasa, she could collect a ksuba, she's an almona. If she comes back and says, Gersheni Bali, my husband divorced me, Mispanesis v'alechas ad kedei ksubasa. We don't know for sure that she's divorced. She doesn't have a divorce document. So she gets her ksuba, but she doesn't get a ksuba in one payout. She gets it in incremental payouts, but she only gets mezoinis equal to the value of a ksuba. Because according to her, she's divorced. And once she's divorced, she's not entitled to anything more than a ksuba payment. But from here we see that if she was married, and she says that my husband passed away, she would be entitled to support from her husband's property. Shmuel says, Ein paiske mezoinus. Hachanami, we're referring to Shem Bashemes. Ask the Gemara, and therefore even Shmuel agrees that she's entitled to support. Ask the Gemara, Umayshna akadei ksubosa. Why does it say that her support payment is only up to the extent of a ksuba? If her husband died, she should get as much support as she's entitled. Says the Gemara, dihi dafsa nafsha. By her saying that she was divorced, so she's not entitled to more than the ksuba. So we give her the lesser, the ksuba payment, but we only give it to her in incremental payments as it was mezoinus. And as the Rishonim, the Ritva, in explanation of Rashi says, since we're not quite sure that she's saying the truth or not, we only give it to her as mezoinus, and we give it to her disadvantage. We give her only a maximum of the ksuba value, because if she's divorced, she doesn't deserve more. But we also give it to her only in small payments, because maybe she's not divorced and she's entitled to mezoinus, and mezoinus is given only in small mezoinus payments, not in a lump sum. Toshma, Kate's Omer Manez Ela Mezoinus. As we've learned many times, a girl who's a Yusayma is not able to have Kedusha Deraisa. However, Chazal granted her Kedusha Derabonim. But she has a lach that she's allowed to do miyun. That until she's a gedoyla, she could annul the marriage. Says the Braisa, Ketza Amar Memenis Ein La Mezoinus. How did Chazal say that a Memenis does not receive a Memenis? Yata Yocha Loimer, B'Yishev Tachas Bala. It's certainly not in a situation where she's married to her husband. Shrei Bala Chayib Mezoinus. Her husband has to support her as long as they're married. Ela, Kigon Shaholach Bala Medina Sayam. Her husband went overseas. Lofts of Achla, and in his absence she borrowed money, and then Amda Miena, and she does Miyun, and then he returns, he does not have to pay back the people that she borrowed money from. Why? Tamad Miena, because she annulled the marriage prior to him paying back those obligations. Hola Miena, had she not done Miyun, Yavinala, we would pay back the support that Bezdin borrowed on her behalf. So we see that a woman does receive support in her husband's absence from his properties, different than Shmuel. Amul Chashmuel, Hachlamay Nechishlo. Again, Shmuel says, all of my concerns don't apply here. Imishim Tzrari, if we're worried that they left the bundles of money, Tzrari Lektana Lemitvus. As we learned at the beginning of this year, husbands do not typically leave over wives who are Ketanas, and this girl by definition is a Ketana, bundles of cash. Vimishim Masi Yedel, if the concern is that they had a relationship of Tzei Masi Dechem Zenesecha, Ketana Lai Sipka, that's unlikely that a girl who's a young Ketana should be earning enough that cover all of her needs, and that the husband and her could have entered into a relationship of Tzimas Yudechim Zenesecha. Ask them, Ramai Havalo. We've had this machloikus of Rav and Shmuel, a paisk mezoinus or ein paisk mezoinus, what's the halacha? Ki osra of Dimi Omar, Maisabol of Rebbe Beisharim, there was a situation with Rebbe Beisharim, or apostle of mezoinus, he's granted the wife support from her husband's properties. Lefnei Rabbi Shmuel b'Tzipori, v'loy pasuk l'mezoinus, he refused to give his support. Taba Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan didn't understand Rabbi Shmuel's psak. V'chimaro Rabbi Shmuel, shloy pasuk l'mezoinus, why did Rabbi Shmuel not grant her support? Halei nechku b'nei kanim g'doylem v'chanan elen yishvua. The machleks we have in our Mishnah between chanan b'nei kanim g'doylem is only regarding when a shvua is required. Av mezoini, yavinulah. Certainly everybody agrees that she's entitled to support. Amr of Shimber Abba, Kfat Tigma Rabbeinu Shmuel B'Bavel. Didn't Shmuel explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Shem B'Shemes? So we'll explain that our Mishnah is not a proof, because our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Shem B'Shemes. Amr Psurta by Kulahai. Is that really Pshat in our Mishnah? Isn't explaining our Mishnah that's referring to a case of Shem B'Shemes a very forced explanation that we shouldn't really explain and follow? Similar conversation. Kiyosu Rav and Omar. Masaba Lefnei Rabbi Beisharim. There was a situation that came to Rabbi Beisharim. V'lo pasuk la mezoinus, and he did not grant mezoinus to a wife who whose husband went overseas. Lefnei Rabbi Shmuel b'Tzipori, a similar situation came to Rabbi Shmuel and Tzipori, or Pasuk l'mazonos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my Rebbe shloi Pasuk lo. Why didn't Rebbe give her support? The whole line, again, the same question. The machlokes of Chanan b'nei Kohanim g'dolim and our mishnah is only regarding the shvua. When does the shvua have to be made? But it's obvious that they all agree to have a mazonos shavina lo. Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Abba. So Rishon Rabbi says, what are you asking? Didn't Shmuel explain our Mishnah that's referring to the situation of Shamba Shemes? Amalei said, is that really the explanation of our Mishnah? Isn't that a forced explanation of our Mishnah? And therefore, our Mishnah should not be used to as proof of Ein Paiskin Mezoinus. On the contrary, it should be a proof that Paiskin Mezoinus. And that's Taka the Halacha, Hilchos HaKavosei the Rav, Paiskim Mezoinus Leishasish, we supply support for a wife whose husband went overseas. Hilchos HaKavosei the Rafuna Merav, the Halacha is also like Rafuna Merav, Dom Rafuna Merav, as we learned earlier in HaMasechta, Yichoy Le'isha Shetayim Le'bala, a wife could say to a husband, Einin Mezoinus Vein Oisa, I won't turn over my wages to you, and you don't have to support me. Since, as we learned at the beginning of our shir, this Takona was made on behalf of the benefit of a wife, she has a right to refuse this benefit. And now the Gemara goes to a different subject. The Mefarshim say this subject is brought up here because either our Gemara is quoting halacha decisions, so the Gemara quotes one more, or because our Gemara, on Amar Aleph, quoted the opinion of Rav Zvid, so now the Gemara quotes Rav Zvid's opinion regarding a different subject. V'hocha sa kavaseid Rav Zvid b'kanya. The halacha of Rav Zvid regarding glazed vessels. And this is the way Tosfos explains our Gemara, and Tosfos says everybody agrees to this pshat. Dom Rav Zvid, hani milni d'kanya, glazed vessels, chivri v'uchmi, white glaze and black glaze, shari, yurika asiri, green ones are forbidden. So as Tosfos explains, certainly if a glazed vessel was used for hot item, that means, if we used a glazed dish for hot chametz, that dish, since we know porcelain dishes can't be kashered, that dish cannot be kashered even if it's glazed. Al Gemara's discussion, says Tosfos, is regarding Yayin Nesach, where a glazed cup was used for Stam Yenom. So says the Gemara, if it was glazed with white or black glaze, then we could assume that nothing got absorbed into the porcelain glass itself, and then it could be used after it's properly washed out for kosher liquids. However, if it's a yuriki, if it's a green glaze, that green glaze has the characteristic that it causes everything poured into it to absorb into the cup, and therefore it cannot be used even if it was only used for cold. V'loya moron, furthermore, this was only said the Lesbica Tefuni. Even the white and black glaze cup that can be used is if it doesn't have cracks. Aval Isbica Tefuni, if there are cracks, then certainly the forbidden liquid got absorbed through the cracks, and in theory those cups cannot be used under any circumstances.